have any regrets in your life. I'm not sure whether you have any regrets in your life before this. But for me, especially for those who are of age, in a way, we know what this movie is all about, Back to the Future. How many of you are actually familiar with this story or this movie, Back to the Future, the trilogy? Okay. So, oh, sure, you are. Oh, okay. That's very young of you. Now, if you have the ability to travel back in time, forward time, if you have the ability to travel in time, what would you change in your life? Have you ever thought of that? No, because obviously we are very satisfied with our life. And we wouldn't hinder us because all this makes us who we are today. But we as a church, we as a school, we understand that education do give a better chance at life. That's why we send our children to the places that we can afford. To the best of our ability, we provide for them because we know that education is the passport to the future, because tomorrow belongs to the people who prepare for it today. That's why we send our children to the best school available to make sure that they have the education related so that they are well prepared to face their future. Now, for some of us who have a health issue, we will notice that if you have something wrong with your heart, your second chance at life means that you need to have a change of heart, literally. You need to have the heart transplant. Now, for all of us, we know that life always offers us a second chance. And in a very short manner, it is called tomorrow. But the one thing about tomorrow is that it is uncertain. We are not sure whether tomorrow is certain for us. We may take tomorrow as granted. And if you do not like your life right now, I think it is time to make better choices given the chance that we have by God and that we do not take things for granted. Now, in terms of life, we can look at it in three different areas, right? Three different parts of it. We have the survival in life, right? Survival for life. If you live in a survival mode in life, you will focus only on the basic necessity in life to procure food, you know, to have a shelter, a place for you to stay, to ensure the safety of your family here and there, to have access to healthcare, social services, to have very basic transportation to bring you to the places that you need to do. You need to do your work and need to do your business in a way. But survival kind of life usually comes about if you only focus on that, right? You may be some that are living in the conflict zone, especially in the war, or maybe you are living in the natural disaster area where your sole purpose in life at that moment is to make sure you survive the day. Now, I believe most of us here, we are way past that. I believe God has blessed us good. God has blessed us enough that we are no longer in this survival mode in life, that we do not need to worry about tomorrow as much as those who are in the conflict zone or those who are suffering from natural disaster. That brings us to the survive, a successful kind of life, right? The successful life, where it depends on our personal values, it depends on our we pursuing the goals, and usually it has a certain definition of success in our life. And this is where I believe most of us are. We are pursuing certain successes in life. And of course, when we talk about Singaporeans, they have the 5 C's of life. Can you name the 5 C's of life? Cash, car, credit card, a condominium, a country club, membership, career. And today they have extra C's. All right, they want control. They want confidence. They want to have a community, communal life. And some of them, they want concubines. C's of life. Now, when we look at successful life, we have to understand that it all boils down to the definition of success in our life. So what you define as success in your life may differ to what I define success in my life. But generally, a successful life in general It's a balanced work-life integration where you have work time, where you have ample time to spend with your family, where you have financial independence when you are secure in your financial situation, where you have good health and fitness so that you can go about your day and do whatever you want. And I have a young adult who is currently cave diving in East Malaysia right now. So as long as we have health, as long as we have fitness, we can do all things that we want. And even some may pursue strong social connection in our life. As we live a life that has a strong social connection, it means that we belong to a certain community here, there, and everywhere. Now for some of us, the Malaysian dream is actually to build up enough capital so that we can live comfortably somewhere else. We want to migrate outside of Malaysia. Now it comes to the next one. The highest level of life that we can ever think about is a life that is significant. So not only to have a successful life, but to have it in a significant manner. So for some of us, we may pursue creating a family legacy. We may pursue a purpose-driven career. In 5 years' time, I'm going to be the CEO of this company, etc. And for some of us, we may want to engage in humanitarian work to, you know, help the people of the world, to bring them out of poverty, to fight for sex slave and all this. And some of us, we may be challenging our own personal limits. I have a fear of height, I go bungee jumping, something like that. And for some of us, we are pursuing cultivating meaningful relationship in a smaller circle. Now, all these are significant life. Based on our definition, based on your definition, but I believe a minority of us are actually pursuing this. So we have the survival kind of life, where it's like the basic, where you just want to make sure that you are well taken care of today. The next one is the successful life, where I believe most of us are, that we want to pursue a certain understanding of success, and this understanding is different from the people around you. And the minority of us, we actually want to pursue a life that is significant, that has a certain purpose and meaning. Now, with all this, there are three most important decisions that we make in life. The first one is career choice. That is where the school comes in to make sure that we have prepared our students sufficiently, so that they will be able to explore what they want to do in their near future. Because career is in a way for life. But we do know also that today people can just jump across their jobs and career because the jobs and career today has so many, many, many more choices. So as parents, we want to encourage you to support your children. Support your children in their career choice. Help them to analyze some of the good things, bad things, what are some of the decisions that they need to make. And from there on, work backwards. If they want to be a doctor today or in the future, what are they supposed to do today? So three most important decisions in life. The first one, career choice. Parents, you can be part of it. That's the good news. Second most important decisions in life. Again, parents, you have a say in this. Life partner. Say one day, you know, your girl, your boy brings girlfriend, boyfriend back home, and you are the one that is going to analyze. Too fat, cannot. Not handsome enough, cannot. Too tall, cannot. Looks like, such and such. Yes, can. So as a parent, we have a say, and I hope that you do have a say in determining and encouraging your children to find a life partner that will benefit the family in a way, or that will bless your children specifically. It is a very important decision that we make in life, and this decision, as parent, you have a say. You have a say in your children's career choice. You have a say in your children's life partner choosing. Now, the last most important decisions in life is eternity. Parents may encourage your student to think, your children to think about it, but ultimately your children themselves will have to make that decision. How do we spend eternity? How do we spend eternity? Have you ever thought about that? What happens after life ends for us? The average lifespan in Malaysia for boys or for male is about 72 years old. And for the ladies, for the sisters, it's about 76 years old. So as we look at eternity, and as Chinese, most probably we have a taboo not to talk about this. Choi, choi, choi. San lin dou la. It's Chinese New Year soon. It's a New Year soon. We don't want to talk about death. But death essentially cannot evade us. We cannot evade death. We have to embrace death ultimately. And for some of us, we have already made the most decision in life to decide upon our eternity, where do we go after that. But if you have not, I pray that the short message that I'm sharing today will give you a choice, that you will have a chance to make the change necessary so that you too will know for all eternity where you will end up it. So a chance at life, a second chance at life. This is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 24 to 25. Let me read to you very quickly. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. And once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Now this passage, this short part of this passage comes about when somebody asked Jesus one question. Now that person asked Jesus, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? In the whole wide world, since the beginning of creation until Jesus comes back again, the question this guy asked Jesus Christ is that, are only a few people going to be saved?" This guy got the question wrong. The question is not how many will be saved, but whether or not you will be saved. Jesus is asking us to settle this part first. Whether we will be first saved before we discuss about how can we help others to be saved. Now, as a pastor, I've settled this part. And most of us here as a Christian, you have settled this part. And this morning, this afternoon, in a way, I am here to help you to understand this. Now, when we talk about narrow door, there's another passage in the Bible that talks about the narrow gate. And again, this is from Jesus, taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many travel through it." Many enter through it. "But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few finds it." Only a few find it. Yes, there are many people that will be saved. According to the book of Revelation, there are multitudes of people that is saved. But the question is, are we part of that multitude today? Now, 3 points. The entrance to salvation is very specific. It's mentioned here in verse 24. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The narrow door is very specific. It is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. John 14:6 says that, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to the Father, Heavenly Father, and we have to believe in Jesus so that we can be saved. And secondly, the wholehearted dedication and effort are required, because here it says that we have to make every effort. Our spirit, our attitude, and all of our hearts, we are to call to set it upon God and God alone, and we are to refuse to be diverted or to be committed to anything else. So this is the wholehearted dedication that is required for us to be saved. And lastly, many will seek to enter but will not be able to. Many on that day, they will try to enter, they will not be able to because time is up. Because they are not willing to pay for the price of self-denial, they are not willing to let go of what the world offers them. So strive now. Strive now to enter salvation. You have to respond now. We are given a second chance, which is tomorrow, yes. But we are not sure how many tomorrows do we have, or even whether we have the opportunity to live through today. Now, just recently, about 3 days ago, we received news of our ex-board member, Brother Alex Lee. His cancer progresses to the heart. And yesterday, he went home to the Lord. After we received news 3 days, we planned to visit him next week. We did not have the chance. Life can be that. Tomorrow, for some of us, may never come. So here in verse 25, strive now. Make the decision now to enter salvation, because there is a time limit to the offer of salvation. The time limit is that when you die, that's it. The other options or the other situation is that if Jesus comes back right now, then we are going to belong to those who knock on the door, but the master of the house don't know us. And we know for sure that at the end of time, when that day happens, when that day comes, many will knock at the closed door. Many will rise up, they will knock at the closed door. But then it is already too late. So something for you to ponder. What are the odds? The Bible is wrong, let's say. The Bible is wrong, but I choose to believe it. In this life here, what is it going to cost you? If the Bible is wrong, I choose to believe it. I will live a life according to what the Bible says. I will live a good life, a morally good life. So this is what may happen. And if the Bible is wrong and I choose not to believe it, so for some of us, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately, what God says is that He's coming back, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He is our Savior, all this is false. And we have nothing to lose in that sense. Now, this is the assumption that if the Bible is wrong. But we know for sure that the Bible is right. That Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago for you, for me, so that we can receive salvation, so that we can come back to God. And if the Bible is right, and I choose to believe it, what you will gain is that a life that is with God's blessing, a life that is with God as the center, and you have salvation and eternal life after death. This is what happens if the Bible is right and you choose to believe it. Now, this is the worst all of all. If the Bible is right, but you choose not to believe it. Meaning to say, we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus is coming back the second time as a judge. And those who do not put their faith in Him will perish. This is what is going to happen to those who choose not to believe. So looking at all the odds, what have you made, or what choices have you made in life? Have you put your trust in the right place? Because for many, I can assure you, more many Christians here, talk to them, ask them, and see whether they testify to this. Because as Christians, when we put God first in our life, everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be any trials. It doesn't mean that there won't be any challenges, that no troubles will come our way. But simply that with the trials, even with the challenges and with the troubles that comes our way, we are, as Christians, eternally secure in God because of His promises in the Bible that is have peace beyond understanding, that we have access to the wisdom from God, and that we have strength to carry on in all of this. For some, a change of heart means a second chance at life. So for some of us, if you have yet to make a decision to believe in God, to believe in the scripture of what He says and the birth of Jesus Christ and the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all you need to do here according to Romans chapter 10 verses 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Strive now to salvation time is running out because many on that day will knock on the door and God will not open the door for them. Have you made the decision to get this second chance at life today? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that it is challenging, especially for some of us. And that, Lord, we want to give thanks to you because you have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And Lord, in your word, you have declared that, you know, if we proclaim with our own mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And truly, Lord, we want to thank you for the many brothers and sisters, many Christians who have made the decision not only to call upon Jesus Christ, our Lord, but also our Savior, and to put our trust in him and to surrender our life to him. And that, Lord, we ask that you continue to strengthen our faith and also help us to go through life. But Lord, we know that also there are many who have yet to make the decision. And that, Lord, we thank you because you have given us tomorrow, a second chance at life. But Lord, we want to ask that your Holy Spirit work in the hearts of the people. Ask them, Lord, why wait tomorrow? Why wait for tomorrow when we can make the decision today? And Lord, we pray that you will help us, that as we fellowship with one another, as we share words of encouragement to encourage one another, Lord, we want to testify of your goodness, of your faithfulness in our life. That those who have yet to know you, Lord, as they look at our life, truly they will be able to see that our life is one that is amazingly different because of you. So Lord, we just want to pray that this message during the Christmas time will not be too late for them. And then Lord, you will grant your mercy to them so that Lord, they will be able to make this decision before they die or before Jesus Christ, Lord, you come again. Lord, we ask that you continue to shower your love, blessings upon them, that they will not take your love and blessing for granted. And that as Christians, Lord, you give us the urgency, because many on that day, they will call out and they will knock off the door, but Lord, it is too late for them. So help us, Lord, today. Help us to be a testimony that is worth your glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray.